Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chops Live Radio Broadcast. Coming to you live all the way from Millbrook, Alabama. I'm the one and only Dennis C. Latham, here by request of Dr. Pastor Kenny Glasgow to run this broadcast, and I run it like I want to run it. I let the callers be the host and the co-host. I just sit back and moderate the phone line to let folks talk. You got a subject you want to bring to the table, a topic, or maybe a problem. Bring it on. We can solve it right here. Got a testimony to tell? Come and tell it. I like to deal in proven solutions and putting them into action. Anyway, I'll play a couple of clips, and if nobody presses the one on their phone keypad and want to talk, then I'm just going to play a couple of clips and keep it short, and so I can get the getting back up on these rooftops. Anyway, I'm going to play one of my favorite sermons by T.D. Jakes. It's called Grasshoppers Don't Eat Grapes. Be back in 14 minutes and 28 seconds.
I want you to consider with me just a few passages out of the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, beginning at verse 23 down through 33. When you have it, say amen. I may drop out, but let us read together from the word of God. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought it to the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Continue. Can you say amen? I'm sorry, you didn't finish. And so were we in their sight. Can you say amen? There are two words that we need to consider. In the 23rd verse, the word grapes. And in the 33rd verse, the word grasshoppers. Look at someone and say, grasshoppers,
grasshoppers.
Don't eat grapes. Look at somebody else and say, grasshoppers,
grasshoppers.
Don't eat grapes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you sent me to do. I'm here on a mission. Brought a word for somebody. I thank you for what's going to happen tonight. I thank you for somebody receiving direction tonight. I thank you for what you've spoken in my spirit and in my life. This word is a message of change. Most of all, I thank you that grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I look to my Bible for so many things. More and more as days go by, I look less and less to people. And more to the Word of God for solace, for companionship, for counseling, for therapy. I use it as a roadmap to excellence. I use it to feed my soul. I've been delivered from reading the Word to get a message, because many of us only read the Word to prepare to give it to someone else. And we bless other people and starve to death ourselves. But I find it's far better to read the Word when your heart is overwhelmed, just because it is the Word, out of respect to it being the Word, honoring it as God's Word, and then out of the depths of what God gave you to feed you, ministering that to other people. Because the truth of the matter is, if the Word doesn't bless you, it won't bless anyone else. You have to have exercised your faith some to develop an appetite for Word. After you become spiritually famished and you get tired of going to people to be replenished, finally in desperation, you run back to the Word of God and say, feed me, lest I faint. And if you can just catch a gleaming of truth, just a fragment, just a crumb that falls from the master's table, is enough to sustain you in the fight for your faith to be made manifest in your life. No wonder the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because when you hear God's Word, you get motivated to go to the next level. And I'm very fond of the Old Testament because it takes the time to share the lifestyles and the thoughts of people that God used. I like that because in the New Testament, it's primarily preoccupied with teaching concepts and theology and philosophies and ideas. And I learn what the apostles preached, but I don't get to hear much about their lifestyle. The lifestyles excite me because it helps me to understand that God used ordinary people, that he used people with like passions. I need somebody to relate to. The Bible has to become my friend, so I need the Bible to be my friend. I need to know the characters until they become my buddies and we hang out together. And I begin to find out that they were just like me, that they got tired and got evil and got frustrated and smote the rock when they should have spoke to the rock, and that they was on top of the roof looking down at something they wasn't supposed to be looking at. And yet I need to do that because I'm surrounded with a generation of phony Christians, and the only place that I can find reality about what it's like to walk with God is to read the Word, because the Word is real candid about how God uses ordinary people. And I'm surrounded by a generation of people who are trying to be spectacular. And so when we take off all of our religious masks and we go to bed for the evening, we're left with the naked truth of who we really are. I need to be able to get a hold to something in the Word of God that gives me the tenacity and the stability and the fortitude to persevere until I get a breakthrough. I need to know that God knows all about me and uses me anyway. I need to know that there are sometimes I can call down fire on a mountain one minute and then be scared to death and run and hide up under a tree. And I need to know that. That helps me to survive. The particular text is exciting tonight because we're dealing with the transition of a generation, and it is paramount for this occasion because this is a holy convocation, and a holy convocation is different from revival. Our purpose in coming together is much different from just soul winning. It is to prepare us to be catapulted into another year of destiny. We came for marching orders. We came to get instructions how to possess what we've been shouting about. We didn't just come to shout about it. We've been shouting all year, but we came to strategize, to get some new techniques, some new philosophies, to fight some old devils with new weaponry so that we can go back and fight the good fight of faith. That's what we come to do. We want to find out strategies. Somebody say strategies. And what we are looking at in our text is divine strategies for moving a generation from one posture to another. It is very important because it is by God's design that he speaks to Moses and tells him the strategy that is necessary to catapult people from one place to another. This is for people that are about to move. I came to talk to people who are about to move. I came to talk to people who are about to possess the promised land. I didn't come to talk to the stagnant, the slothful, the lazy, the preoccupied, or the lethargic. I came to speak to those people who are feeling a restless rumbling down in the recesses of their spirit, and they know something is about to happen and they don't even know what it is. They're excited about something and they can't even articulate what they're excited about. There is some sort of knowing, some sort of instinct, some sort of inner voice is saying you're on the verge of something and you can't even articulate what it is, but you just feel like something is about. I came to talk to somebody who feels like the abstract is about to become concrete, that the intangible is about to go tangible, that the dream is about to become a reality. I came to talk to somebody who almost fainted and would have fainted, but they said, I would have fainted, but I just about fainted had not I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so when God gets ready to prepare Moses to go on this conquest to possess that he has been preparing them for, he says, I want you to get a man from every tribe. I want you to get 12 men, and not just men. He says, I want them to be leaders. I want them to be leaders, and I want you to send them over into the land first to spy out or to be witnesses in the land. Somebody say witness. See, if you are going to be able to do this, he says, you have to send somebody first to witness. And then on the basis of that witness, the attitude comes back to the camp that gives the people the tenacity to go after it and go get it. In other words, he said, I need 12 men who can go over there and see a commercial, a foretaste of what God is going to do. Not so that they might get it, but so that they might go back and prepare to take it. You will understand that whenever God is getting ready to bless you, he always gives you a preview. He always gives you just a glimpse, a commercial, something that hasn't even happened yet. Just a taste, just a sampling, just an hors d'oeuvre, just an appetizer, something to whet your appetite. It's not so much that you might consume it, but just so that you might anticipate with all tenacity the next level of grace that is about to be appropriated unto you. And so God says, don't send all of Israel, but get 12 men and send them ahead that they might be a witness. Somebody say witness. you will notice that God does that. He did it in the life of David when David was going to be king. He anointed him to be king over Israel and then sent him back out into the field to shovel sheep dung and to wait on his time to come. In other words, God gave him an anointing for then and then took him back to where he was. He had a post-dated anointing. It wasn't even time yet. Sometimes God will give you something ahead of time. It's not for you to brag about it, but it's just for you to prepare for it. Joseph didn't understand that. When he got a vision, he started telling everybody. Sometimes you have to have a vision of something that's about to come and not tell anybody because it's not time yet. And if God sends these previews into your life, these previews, these witness experiences, not for you to camp out in the witness, but so that you might have the tenacity to go back and fight and deal with what you've got to deal with, to possess on a permanent basis a place that you've been visiting. And it is important because some of you have been visiting a place in the spirit that God wants you to dwell in. And the only reason he lets you visit it is to whet your appetite, because you were still tied up with some things in this world that were hindering you. And so God just took you ahead of time and gave you a little appetizer to whet your appetite, to increase your faith so that you could let go of some of the things of the world that were hindering you from coming to the next level. Because you were struggling with the flesh, he just took you out of the flesh and out of the spirit on the Lord's day. He just takes you ahead of time. Come up hither, John, and I will show you great and mighty things that shall shortly come to pass. God gives you what the Bible calls a vision, and without a vision, the people perish. He'll give you something ahead of time, so that not so that you can live there, but so that you can go back to reality and endure the sufferings of this present world, knowing that it is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. All of a sudden, when he does that, it changes how you deal with everything and everybody, because you start shouting over what he showed you.
Okay, that was part one. Now, here comes part two.
No, that's different from the other people who are shouting beside you, because they're shouting over a check they got in the mail, and they're shouting because they got a pocketbook to go with their shoes, and they're shouting because they got a new coat, and they're shouting because there's a young man in the back who said she was so pretty. She's shouting because she said that maybe this may be the one. But God has changed your dimension of praise. It's gone to another level, because now you're shouting over something that hadn't even happened yet. It's just... It becomes a prophetic praise, a praise that embraces the future tense of those things that the Holy Spirit is advertising before you. It reminds me of the text when it says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it has been revealed unto us by his Spirit. In other words, God has got all of these things prepared, and you haven't even received them. Your eyes haven't seen them. Your ears haven't heard it. It hadn't even entered into your heart what God is going to do in your life. You're over here dealing with problems and situations. Don't know that right around the corner, God has got some blessings that are going to blow your mind. And the Bible says, you don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that the Spirit will reveal to you things that you haven't even received yet. In other words, it'll tell you blessings that are on hold. It'll show you things that God has reserved for you. The Spirit of God will speak to you and say, don't faint now, because if you hold out a little while longer, this is what God is going to do in your life. Touch three people and tell them something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. I know you're dealing with a lot of pressure, but something is about to happen. I know you're up under a lot of stress, but something is about to happen. I know you've been saying when, but something is about to happen. I know you've been saying, Lord, I need a breakthrough, but something is about to happen. I know you feel like throwing in the towel, but don't do it yet, because something is about to happen. I know the devil's been telling you that God has forgotten you, but that devil is a liar. Something is about. Something is about. God said, send 12 men up front and send them right over into what shall be theirs. Not even theirs yet, but I'm going to let them see it on credit. Some of the things that God is showing you is just on credit. You haven't earned it. You haven't paid your dues yet. You haven't suffered for it. You haven't agonized for it. You haven't even been criticized for receiving it yet. But God's just shown it to your own credit so that you can know that it shall be yours. And then he puts you back in a situation and makes you work your way back up into what he showed you 10 years ago. Now you're going to get with me in a minute. See, some of the things that you were shouting about last year and the year before last, it wasn't nothing but a preview. And you start shouting because you thought you was going to get it then. But God didn't show it to you for you to get it. He showed it to you so you could endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He showed it to you so you wouldn't faint in the day of adversity. He showed it to you so that you didn't blow your brains out or have a nervous breakdown or throw in the towel. He showed it to you so you wouldn't backslide and go back to drinking liquor again. He showed it to arrest that devil that was out to destroy you. He arrested him with a vision. He arrested him with a promise. He arrested him with a dream and said, hold on, help is on the way. And so he sent 12 men over into the promised land and let them go over and see their shall be. Have you seen your shall be's? Have you taken a glimpse at your shall be's? If you ever see your shall be's, you'll stop worrying about your realities. If you ever catch a glimpse of what God is about to do, you'll quit worrying him to death about what's going on right now. Because you start recognizing that if God said this is where I'm going to be, that means that nothing about where I am is going to hinder me from getting the... That's why the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Because you can't deal with what is if you don't see that something better is about to come. You'll perish if you don't have a spy to go ahead of you. You'll perish if you don't send a witness across. You'll perish if you don't get a vision of truth. That's why you got to have a vision. You got to have a vision. You got to have a vision. I was telling somewhere, I was going somewhere and I was trying to see. I got up to my 40th birthday and my eyes started acting crazy. And I said, I could put up with losing my hair and stuff. And I don't mind losing a few teeth or something like that. Maybe getting a corn or a bunion or something like that. But I got to be see now. I got to be able to see. I got to be able to see because I got to see what's ahead of me. I got to see what's next. I got to see the word of God. I got to see. Have you noticed of all the miracles in the Bible, the one that Jesus performed most often was the healing of blinded eyes? Because you got to be able to see. He's trying to tell the body something. I want to heal your eyes. I want to heal your vision. I want to heal you so you can see. I'm going to heal you till you can see what the next step is. That's what David meant when he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. That's why you come to hear the word. You don't come to dance. You don't come to shout. You don't come because you got a new dress and you don't have nowhere to wear. You come to hear the word of God so that you can see how to take the next step, how to move into the next level, how to move to the next level. You need the word. That's why I can't have nobody playing with me in the pulpit. I can't have nobody fooling with me and working my emotions with sensation a little. I need to hear a word so that I can deal with this devil I got to deal with. I got to hear a word so I can get some new weapons. I got to hear some word so that I can roll up my sleeves and fight. God, I feel a rumbling in the Holy Ghost. I feel a stirring in the Spirit. Can't you feel that undercurrent in this room right now? The kingdoms are in conflict. There is an anticipation in the spirit world. Demons are starting to tremble right now. See, that devil knows that you're on the verge of a blessing. That's why he's been fighting you like he's been fighting you. That's why he's been trying to overwhelm you. Because he knows that you're just teetering. You're teetering. You're right on the edge. Entering in the stuff you've been shouting about for years and a year. It's about to break forth in your life. That devil knows if I don't hurry up and mess her up, if I don't hurry up and hinder him, it's going to be too late. And so all 12 of them went over into the promised land, even as the Holy Spirit goes over into our destiny and shows us things to come, even as Jesse anointed a shepherd boy to be a king and then sent him back to tend sheep. In that same sense, these men, these 12 men, were sent as ambassadors of faith to go first over there into the promised land so that they could bring back a report. You need a witness. That's why you got to have a speaking Holy Ghost. You just can't have a jerking Holy Ghost. You just can't have a chill bumping Holy Ghost. You can't just have a goose pimpling Holy Ghost. You need to have something that can come back and talk to your head when all hell is breaking loose. You know you can't trust nobody else to talk to you. You got to have some Holy Ghost to sit up with you at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, now don't lose your mind. You didn't come too far. Don't stress out now. You're starting to act real silly about this. Get yourself together. Get yourself together. Get yourself together. No, 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 no. I know you're tempted, but hang on in there. Hold out. Hold out. Hold out. No, no, no. Don't let the devil do. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't flip out. Don't start fighting. Jesus, the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God to show you what's important, or you'll find yourself fighting about something that don't even matter. You need the Holy Ghost to steady you and give you the tenacity to endure in the middle of the fight. My God, my God, my God. He sent them out into the promised land. And when they got over into the promised land, tell somebody, say, I got to go over. Yes, I got to go. I got to take a visit. I can't be hanging with you. I got to go over. I can't be running around with you. I got to go over. See you, wouldn't want to be. Got to go over. That was the end of this and now. Got to go over. Excuse me, but I got to go over there. Something is calling me. I can't just run around in the pack with the rest of the crowd. Something is calling me to cross. I'm going if I got to come back. I'm going if I can't stay long. I feel like Peter walking on the water. I'm going to walk if Jesus had to get me out of trouble. At least I know what it is to walk on the water. I'm going. If I get in trouble and run out of money, I'm still going. If you start laughing and talking about me, I'm still going. At least I got to go. You were sitting up on the boat talking out of your head, but I got to walk. Tell somebody and tell them God is calling you out. Come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and I shall be. Like everybody else, come out. Quit trying to be popular. Come out from among you. So many of you are so busy trying to fit in that God can't call you out. You're so busy taking a poll trying to make sure everybody likes you that God can't call you out. Look at somebody and tell them, he's calling me out. I don't mean to act funny, but he's calling me out. I wanted to keep hanging with you, but he's calling me out. No, I'm not going out to eat with you. He's calling me out. He's calling me into consecration. Y'all go ahead and talk about people, but he's calling me into another level. Y'all go ahead and start lying and going drive by the bar and cruise and wink and blink and go. Oh, my God, I done stepped into some. Let me step out of there. But God is calling me out. You called him over into the promised land so that they could experience something beyond their present circumstance. Have you experienced anything beyond your present circumstance? You need to experience something beyond you. And he sent them over into the promised land. Now these are people who have been wandering through the desert for years. And my God, he's taken them over into the city. They've been out there in the dry, parched, hot, sandy ground with nothingness, living off of manna and miracles. And by the time they ran out of one thing, they had to believe God for something else. And it sounds wonderful when we read about it, but it's stressful to live from hand to mouth, not knowing how you're going to make it from day to day, hardly making ends meet, having to pray up some food and lunch money and cereal money and clip out coupons and stuff. It sounds good, but when you got to live it, praying that your shoes don't wear out because you ain't got no more. Praying that your clothes don't wear out because you ain't got no more clothes. Changing your tie because you can't change your suit. Oh, y'all don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. They were dealing with all of that stuff. Hey. 12 men got to come out from all of that. And they got over in the... Oh, my God, they got over in the promised land. They stepped over in the sun. That's what it is when you step in the anointing. You step over in the sun. See, some of y'all never really stepped in the anointing. You step in the church, but you never stepped in the anointing. When you step in the anointing, you're just going along depressed, you know, feeling kind of sad and blue, and all of a sudden you just step into something. And we write all these songs trying to explain it, but it's hard to articulate. One person said, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. What it is, you just step into something, and you get encouraged, and you don't even know what you're encouraged about. Still ain't got no money. Still don't have no check. Still don't have no husband. Still dealing, but all of a sudden, you step into something. They step. Tell somebody, say, I stepped into something. I stepped into it. I can't explain how it happened. I just stepped into it. Anybody who ever really got blessed can tell you, when you really get blessed, you just step into it. It's not something that you plan. You just happen to be at the right place at the right time. You just step into something. The Holy Ghost just steps you into something. It just lights up your path. It just says, turn left. It just says, call Jimmy. It just says, go into that service and sit down. It just says, stand by the water cooler. I'm going to send somebody to meet you. It says, sit down by the well. I got a stranger coming to you. I step. Oh, that's why ain't no need in you being jealous, baby. I just stepped into something. And if you step right, you'll step.
All right, now we're going to go to number 3. Be back in 14 minutes and 59 seconds.
There they were, walking around in glory. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And they had come from nothingness and dryness and barrenness to all of a sudden they were surrounded by the blessings of God. They described it as a land that flowed. This is what everything we went through. Look at this. They say the grapes were just growing in clusters, just hanging down off the vine. The pomegranates were just ripe and ready to be picked. They didn't have to farm. They didn't have to labor. Everything was just laying there. See, when you step into blessing, you don't have to work for it. It's just laying there. That's when you know it's God. God said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll give you vineyards you didn't grow. I'll give you stuff you can't even explain. You just stepped into it. All of a sudden, I'll give you a car you couldn't even afford, a house you couldn't even pay for. I'll give you a job you wasn't even qualified for. But step! Step! You can't even figure out how you got it yourself. It don't even work out on paper. You don't know how you make it from month to month. When the bank said yes, you almost collapsed on the floor. But God said, I'm going to let you stop. Tell somebody, say, milk and honey. Milk and honey. Milk and honey, milk and honey, milk and honey. God sent you a blessing. Sent somebody into your life. Sent somebody who appreciated you after you've been dogged and abused and mistreated. God finally sent somebody who got some sense. Touch somebody and say, milk and honey. I prophesy to you tonight in the name of Jesus that your dry place is over and you're coming out of the wilderness. Yea, the Lord thy God has prepared a blessing for you. And after such a long time as this, God is going to allow you to step into a time of milk and honey. You're going to see why the devil has tried to kill you in the wilderness, because he knew that your eyes had not seen and your ears haven't heard. God's about to give you something going to blow your mind. We're just talking about it. And so oh, bless this wonderful name. Bless this wonderful name. I feel the Holy Ghost breaking yokes and strongholds and struggles. Somebody's about to step into something so powerful in the spirit. My God. Somebody tell them you're going to step into it. Hey, you ain't got to work, baby. You're going to step into it. You ain't got to crawl no more. You just go step into it. After you suffered a while, you just go. Pomegranates and my God, look at those grapes. Grapes from whence cometh wine, joy of the spirit. Grapes clustered all over the promised land. My God, do you know how long it had been since they had seen grapes? Look at all the grapes. See, you can laugh, but see, let me tell you something. When you've been through a desert, you get happy over stuff other people don't understand. When you've been through a desert, you get happy because the car made it to church. When you've been through trouble and trials, you get happy because you got a telephone. I know that sounds like silly stuff, but when you've been through the desert, you be happy because you dress yourself. You've been so sick you couldn't even put on your own clothes, and then one day you dress yourself, come to church talking about, child, I dress myself. And other folk be laughing and say, we do that all the time. Yeah, but you ain't been through what I've been through. If you had been through what I've God said, I'm going to give you the grapes. That means I'm going to let you see something you ain't seen for a long time. That means I'm going to put you into a place of blessing. That means that very thing that you've been struggling to produce in your life, God said, I'm just going to let you step in the grapes. Ah! Let's touch somebody and say, I see the grapes. They don't understand you, but touch somebody and tell them, I praise him for the grapes. Yeah, I praise him for stuff you had all the time. I praise him for what you call normal. I praise him for what you call ordinary. You don't think it's no big deal, but I've been through a test in that area. I've been through a fight in that area. I praise him for the grapes. Look at me. I dress myself. Look, I praise him for my job. You laughing because it's just working at Wendy's, but I didn't have no job at all. I praise him for that. I praise him because my children not flunking out of school. I praise him because they're not on drugs anymore. I praise him because I got a VCR. And ain't nobody stole it this month. I pray. Praise God for the grace. Is there anybody in here got some grapes? Grapes are the stuff that you can't even testify about because other people don't understand why you would be happy about something as simple as grapes. They don't even understand why you would rejoice because you slept good last night. They don't understand you've been up for 2 weeks, couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 hours, and last night you slept 8 hours and you come in and say, Lord, I got some rest. People think big deal, we get rest every night. Yeah, but you ain't been through what I've been through. Somebody who got some grapes, go to praising God for grapes. I know you can't tell your business because it's real personal. When you get down to grapes, it's real personal. And grape testimonies sound silly because everybody else had grapes all the time. You start praying because your car payment's up to date. You start praying because you got your hair done. Didn't have to do it yourself. You start praying because you got your nails done. It's a little silly stuff like that. Don't even make no sense. Start praying because you got a job. Praying because you got a promotion. Praying because the check didn't bounce. You know, I know you don't want to go into details, but just tell somebody, just tell them something that you praise God for that he did in your life, that something he did for you, something that maybe they wouldn't even understand why you'd be glad about it. I drove myself to church. I put on my own clothes. I'm seeing my son turn around. My son stayed in school. Didn't have to go down to the principal's office. Didn't have to get him out of court. I prayed him because God stepped in. God stepped in. I know you think it's a joke, but I thank God. And there they were, young. There they were. There they were, all up here, looking. Much, but I'm going to hold on to it. I thank God for this, because if God did this, he can do that. They might be laughing at your little testimony, but hold on to it, baby. They might think you're a big joke right now, but hold on to it. You might have just opened up that little business and everybody's laughing because you got folding chairs and they got nice chairs, but keep on holding on to them folding chairs. You might be doing hair in your kitchen, but keep on curling, baby, because your neck in line for... I can't stay over here. I can't stay with the grapes, but I'm gonna bring some grapes back with me. Grace and grace. This is what I got out of what I went through. This is what I got out of all the nights I cried and suffered. It's just a memento that the Lord was with me when I crossed over Jordan. It's just a little token. It's a reminder. You know, everybody ought to have 2 or 3 things that when you look at it, it increases your faith. It might be something you was wearing when you was in the hospital, or the shoes you had on in the car wreck. And you were supposed to have been dead, but every time you look at them shoes, it reminds you that the Lord, you know. It might be a picture out your first house. It might be a dress you had to wear to church for 2 months and kept changing scarves, but it was the same old dress. And now every time you see a scarf, you start dancing because it reminds you of what you went through. Just the grace. Just the grace. Let it come back. And they say, 12 men came back. They all had grapes. Oh, goodness grace. Look at this stuff. We did. Boy, this is awesome. This is awesome. Grapes. The blessings of the promised land. Grace. That's some grace. Grace. And they had a taste of something. When they could have had an abundance of it. What separates tasters from receivers is the perception they have of themselves. All of them got to taste it, but everybody who tasted it can't keep it. Everybody gets to shout about the promises of God, but everybody doesn't get to receive it. Everybody gets a blessed moment. But very few folk get to live in a state of perpetual, ongoing blessings. And the church has never understood this. We think that it's just two or three people that God favors, and like he don't like the rest of us. As if there's something that exempts us from being blessed, as if God were a respecter of persons. It was not that God liked any one of the 12 better than the others, but the thing that caused him to have distinction, God gave all of them a taste of the grapes. But let me tell you something. If you're going to go on from being a taster to being a receiver, you've got to change your perception of how you see yourself. Because if you don't change how you see yourself, you won't get the blessing. You may see the grapes. You know, there's some wonderful grapes over there. Praise the Lord. The grapes is over there, child. Mama, I wish you could have seen what the Lord showed me. It's some blessings down the road. Oh, let me tell you, God is good. Ain't he all right? He's all right. He's absolutely wonderful. And he said, you going back to get some more? No! Why not? Because there's trouble over there. There's trouble over there. There's trouble over there, and I can't go back because I can't go back because there's trouble. I can't go back because it's trouble. Listen to this. Listen. God put your blessing in the middle of trouble. He put it in trouble. And if you're not willing to get in trouble, you can't get it. You might get to taste it, but you won't get to keep it. If you run from trouble, you'll never be able to get what God has for you, because the blessing is in the mess. I said the blessing is in the mess. Hold my grape from here. The blessing is in the mess. And people who are afraid of mess can never live in the blessing. They get to shout about it. They get to taste it. But they can't live in it because they're so afraid of getting in trouble that they can't receive anything from God. They're so busy trying to make things go easy that they can't get their blessing. You see, the Lord put the grapes right in the middle of the sons of Anak. Now, the sons of Anak, you might not be familiar with them. They were the tribe of Anakim. Maybe you're not familiar with that either. But if I talked about one of their descendants, Goliath, you would remember Goliath. That they were a tribe of giants who stood strong in stature, and they were walking around in the promised land right around the grapes. And so you had to go through Anak to get the grapes. And the problem with the church is we don't want to go through Anak to get the grapes. But if you're going to get what God has for you, you've got to go through. You can't keep talking.
crouching and dodging and hiding and slipping. You just got to go through. Tell somebody, tell them, I've been through a night. Yeah. I've been through it. I didn't get here easy. I had to come through hell and high water. It wasn't because everybody liked me. It wasn't because things were going good. I had to go through the ain't to survive, to persevere. If you gonna hold your marriage together, you got to go through ain't. If you gonna raise your children, you got to go through ain't. If you gonna build your church, you got to go through ain't. If you gonna be successful, you got to go through ain't. Whenever you get tired of living off of one cluster and decide to get everything that God has for you, you got to confront the thing that's confronting you and tell them, we got to rumble tonight. We got to fight tonight, because I got a taste of the blessing. If I had never tasted it, I might have let you scare me off. But somebody say, I got a taste. Listen. They're the sons of Anak were. And the problem was, they came back talking about how big they were. 10 men came back talking about how big Anak was. 2 of them came back talking about how big God was. I come to tell you that your God is bigger than your giant. Your God is bigger than the thing that's confronting you. Your God is bigger than your past. Your God is bigger than your childhood. Your God is bigger than the rumor that's out on you. Your God is bigger than the lie they told on you. Your God is bigger than all the bills that are against you. Your God is bigger. And if you start reminding yourself of how big he is, the giant starts shrinking. You know, when we flew into Detroit, I noticed that when you look out the window, I looked down on the city and it looked like nothing. When I hit the runway, the thing that looked small in the air looked huge on the ground. And all of a sudden I found out that when you start flying high enough, things that used to look big don't look big anymore. And the only reason that thing looks like a giant is because you've been hanging down too low. But I dare you to move on up. You've got to get above the mess and start looking down on it and say, greater is he that is in me. Put somebody and say, look down on it. Look down on it. You can't whip it looking up at it. You got to get above it and look down on it. You got to look down on it and say, all things are under my feet. My past is under my feet. Your attitude about me is under my feet. My problem is under my feet. My limitation is under my feet. Somebody give it 3 minutes of praise and praise. Go! don't belong to you. Can I preach a few more minutes? The 23rd verse to the 32nd verse, I couldn't help them. Listen to me. It was what they said in the 33rd verse that made me able to help them. Because they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. I said, now I see what separates the takers from the dreamers. It's how you perceive yourself. And I started looking at grasshoppers. They tell me that the grasshopper has strong leg muscles, but he don't have strong arms to fight. Just to leap. He survives by leaping away from what he's afraid of. And if he gets threatened, he leaps away from the thing that threatened him. He can leap real good. He can leap 20 times his body size. And it causes him to stay alive. But he cannot confront what he wants to take because he survives by getting away. Some of you are on the verge of a breakthrough. But every time you get close to the blessing, the enemy sends a spirit of fear and you leap away from the very thing that God wants to give you. And the reason you keep shouting about something that you haven't received is every time you get close, the devil sends something to spoke you. But touch your neighbor and tell him, I ain't leaping no more. The ones that come brown live on the ground, and the ones that come green live on the plants, and the ones that come sandy colored live on the beach. They're a bit like chameleons. They survive by adapting to their environment. In other words, they blend in until they cannot be seen. People that blend in will never receive the blessings of God because they're too quiet and they're too laid back and they're so busy trying to fit in that they can't get what God has for them. And some of you were meant to get the grace, but because you keep blending in with the people that you hang around, you're not able to receive the blessing of the Lord. But you gotta want it bad enough to be different. You gotta want it bad enough to step out from the crowd. You gotta want it bad enough to be seen. Got somebody and tell them, come out the closet. Come out the closet. You know you want the blessing. Quit hiding, trying to make folk like you. Quit hiding so you can fit in. sin. God is calling you out. Make up your mind. Your mama don't go. Your daddy don't go. Your sister and brother don't go. I'm going. If I gotta go by myself, I will. Son, yes.
What a funny thing. The worst thing about it is, listen to this, when you see yourself as a grasshopper, stand up on your feet, then everybody else sees you as a grasshopper too. Somebody in my church was buying me something for my birthday, and he said, brought me a gift, it was wrapped up. I said, oh, you shouldn't have done that. What is this? He said, open it up, it's real nice. I said, it is. He said, mm-hmm. So I wouldn't buy you anything cheap, Bishop. I said, no. I said, I'd appreciate it. No matter what you gave me. He said, no. I wouldn't treat you, give you nothing cheap. Because you don't buy yourself nothing cheap. I thought about it all day. And suddenly I recognized the principle. People treat you like you treat yourself.